A disappearing act at a birthday party doesn't usually herald the end of the world. But when Bilbo Baggins vanishes in front of shocked guests at his 11-1st celebration, he leaves behind more than just scandalized neighbors. His nephew Frodo inherits Bag End, a comfortable fortune, and one small gold ring that happens to be the most dangerous object in existence. What seems like a generous bequest is actually a death sentence wrapped in precious metal, the One Ring, forged by the Dark Lord Sauron to enslave all free peoples of Middle-earth. This isn't the inheritance anyone dreams of receiving. Gandalf the Grey reveals the terrible truth. This trinket cannot be destroyed by any ordinary means, and Sauron, rising again in the land of Mordor, seeks it with all his terrible power. The ring must be taken to Mount Doom, the only place it can be unmade, right into the heart of enemy territory. When Frodo laments that he wishes this burden hadn't fallen to him, Gandalf offers wisdom that echoes through every crisis we face. We cannot choose our times, only what we do with the time given to us. Departure rarely looks heroic, just the quiet terror of leaving everything familiar. Frodo's exit from the Shire resembles a desperate escape, traveling cross-country with Sam and Pippin to avoid the Black Riders hunting them. These ringwraiths, once kings of men, now enslaved by Sauron, represent what awaits anyone who succumbs to the ring's corruption, eternal existence stripped of humanity, serving only darkness. The Hobbit's encounter with High Elves offers their first glimpse beyond the Shire's borders. When Frodo greets them in Elvish, we see how Bilbo's influence prepared him for a wider world. Yet even these powerful beings can only offer temporary sanctuary and cryptic warnings. Each step away from home requires choosing courage over comfort, forward motion over retreat. The landscape transforms from familiar fields to strange forests, mirroring the internal journey from innocence to understanding that danger cannot be avoided, only faced or fled from. The Old Forest and Barrow Downs reveal a disturbing truth. Not everything in Middle-earth cares about the struggle between Sauron and the Free Peoples. Old Man Willow's malevolence and the Barrow White's undead hunger represent ancient grudges predating current conflicts. Here, the hobbits meet Tom Bombadil, perhaps Tolkien's strangest creation. Singing nonsense songs in bright blue and yellow, Tom wields tremendous power, yet remains utterly indifferent to the ring. He could take it without consequence, but has zero interest. When asked who he is, Tom offers only riddles. Eldest, that's what I am. His immunity reveals something profound. The ring can only corrupt those who desire power. Tom's complete contentment makes him invulnerable. Yet this immunity comes with limitations. Tom won't leave his borders, join the quest, or intervene beyond his chosen realm. His existence poses uncomfortable questions. If the most powerful being they encounter chooses non-involvement, what hope do ordinary hobbits have? The answer emerges through contrast, precisely because Tom doesn't. At Bree's Prancing Pony, trust becomes currency. Should the hobbits trust this weather-beaten stranger who knows too much? Aragorn's introduction showcases Tolkien's mastery. The suspicious ranger gradually reveals himself as nobility in exile, heir to ancient kingdoms, bearing a broken sword symbolizing broken lineage awaiting restoration. When Frodo accidentally slips on the ring during an ill-advised performance, he experiences more than invisibility, a shifted perception foreshadowing the ring's growing influence. The Black Riders transform from distant threats into immediate dangers, penetrating civilization's fragile safety. The journey to Rivendell becomes a desperate race against pursuing ringwraiths and spreading poison from Frodo's Morgul knife wound at Weathertop. This injury, spiritual as much as physical, transforms Frodo's experience. He begins seeing what others cannot, the ringwraith's true forms, the spreading corruption within himself. Aragorn's healing skills can only slow the poison's progress. The landscape conspires against them until Glorfindel's arrival and the final desperate dash to the Fort of Brunnen, where Elrond's power defeats the riders temporarily. Rivendell gathers representatives of all free peoples under Elrond's care. Elves who remember the First Age, dwarves nursing ancient grudges, men from besieged kingdoms, and hobbits thrust beyond their depth convene as the full scope of danger emerges. Gandalf reveals Saruman's corruption. Boromir describes Gondor's desperate struggle and his prophetic dream. Elrond recounts witnessing Isildur's failure to destroy the Ring 3,000 years earlier, dooming future generations. The council debates every option, hiding the ring, giving it to Tom Bombadil, even wielding it against Sauron. Each proposal crumbles under scrutiny. The ring must be destroyed in Mount Doom's fires, the only place it can be unmade. When no one volunteers for this suicide mission, Frodo's quiet voice breaks the impasse. "I will take the ring, though I do not know the way." True heroism lies not in seeking glory, but accepting responsibility. The fellowship forms around this humble courage, 9 companions representing all free peoples united against darkness. The fellowship's journey south tests endurance and unity. When Caradhras proves impassable, they descend into Moria, where magnificent dwarf architecture now serves as tomb. Balin's grave confirms the worst, then drumbeats echo through the deep, doom, doom, heralding the orc attack and the Balrog. Gandalf's sacrifice at Khazad Dûm, "Fly, you fools!" as he plunges into darkness, leaves them leaderless, forcing Aragorn into reluctant command. Lothlórien offers healing in this enchanted realm, embodying the fading beauty of elder days. Galadriel's mirror reveals possible futures, confronting characters with deepest fears. When Frodo offers her the ring, she faces her own temptation, revealing momentarily her potential for terrible power, before rejecting it and accepting that her time in Middle-earth must end. The journey down the Great River brings fresh tensions, as Boromir's desire for the ring intensifies and Gollum's presence adds another threat. Throughout, relationships evolve. Gimli and Legolas's distrust becomes deep friendship. Sam's devotion to Frodo strengthens, and the hobbit's innocence gives way to mature understanding. At Parth Galen, Boromir succumbs to the ring's corruption, attempting to seize it from Frodo, revealing how even noble men can fall. Frodo's vision on Aemon Hen, perceiving Sauron's eyes searching for him, clarifies that conventional warfare cannot win this war. Only stealth and the ring's destruction offer hope. Frodo decides to continue alone, recognizing the ring will eventually corrupt his companions. Sam's determination to follow, nearly drowning to catch up, establishes the partnership that will ultimately succeed. His simple loyalty balances cosmic stakes with emotional resonance. The Uruk-hai attack scatters the remaining fellowship. Boromir dies defending Merry and Pippin, finding redemption through sacrifice. Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli face an agonizing choice between following Frodo and rescuing the captured hobbits. The breaking represents both failure and necessity. The larger company could never approach Mordor secretly, yet separation creates new possibilities. The Fellowship of the Ring reminds us that hope requires courage, not naivete. The smallest person can change the future, not through strength, but through choosing to carry a burden no one else will bear. Frodo didn't choose his burden, but he chose what to do with it. That choice, repeated in small moments throughout impossible circumstances, makes all the difference.